The Holy Gospel, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This is what Jesus tells his followers in our gospel reading today before sending them out. Now, remember, these 70 that Jesus sends out as apostles, technically, are not the 12. They aren't the inner circle. Jesus is sending the ones who haven't been following him quite as long. He's sending those who might not be quite as gifted, or might be gifted. They might be quite spirit-filled, but they also might not be ready just yet. And still, two by two, Jesus sends these followers ahead of him. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But these laborers, for the sake of the gospel, have quite the reach, don't they? Now, doing the math, as Jesus continues his journey toward Jerusalem, he intends to stop in 35 villages. He intends to stop in 35 villages that these disciples are being told to visit first. 35. And when these disciples head into these villages, they are told to stay in one house and to cure the sick who are there. If half of these pairs were successfully welcomed into the villages that they were sent to, that's a lot of hearts prepared for the coming of Christ. And still, with the Holy Spirit at work, you get the sense that their success rate was even higher than 50-50. How many people were touched by these 70 followers who prepared the way for Christ to come and be with them, if only for a day? Now, as I've already mentioned, these followers aren't perfect. They're quite possibly the B squad. But there's enough of them to complete this important mission that Christ sends them out on. And Christ does not just send them out unequipped and without tools that they need. Now, of course, Jesus does tell them, "Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." But the tools that they need aren't those everyday items. Indeed, the tools that these disciples need begins with their partner in ministry. Jesus isn't sending these disciples out alone, but instead sends them in twos, where one stumbles, the other can lift up, where they are in places that could be dangerous, and the open road was quite often dangerous in those days. They could look out for each other. Two travelers are much more difficult to ambush than one. And perhaps the two that would go together to these villages had different gifts, and each complemented the gifts of the other so that their success was assured. I wonder though, if the 70 felt that way. I wonder if they felt that their success would be assured, that the journey that they would go on with their partner in ministry had a high probability of success. My suspicion is that at least some of these 70 probably thought to themselves that they were going to embarrass themselves, or even worse, embarrass the one who sent them. In fact, I suspect that more than a few of them thought about asking Jesus if maybe he could send somebody else instead of them. You know, Lord Jesus, the 12 have a lot more experience at this than I do. Don't you think that they would be better at this than me? But we hear again the words of Jesus: the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm not so sure that Jesus was just talking about the events that were occurring in his day and age. I'm not so sure that Jesus wasn't actually looking directly into the future at all of us when he made that statement. Because I believe that there is a plentiful harvest waiting us. I believe that there is much work to be done for the sake of the gospel right here in Albuquerque. And I know you don't really want to hear this. I think that as ill-equipped as we all are, Christ has already identified us as the laborers to be sent out. Now, that doesn't mean that we are being sent out completely unequipped, but I believe that Christ is sending us all out equipped, maybe differently than we would think is necessary for the work to be done. What do you think? What do you think would be necessary to be equipped for the harvest that Jesus calls us for today and here in Albuquerque? What do you think would be necessary? And what do you think that harvest looks like? It's quite possible that the harvest that we have been called to in the 21st century is a bit different than the harvest that the disciples were called to in the first century. But I suspect that some of the themes are indeed still the same. I believe that when we are called to be laborers prepping for the harvest, we are laborers who are called to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. Now remember, we ourselves are not the gospel. We aren't the good news. But like those first century disciples, we are invited to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. Now for those early followers, that may have looked a lot like staying in one household and healing the sick. For us, I suspect it looks different. Also note, the disciples were sent out with no purse or bag or sandals. For us too, I suspect that this is looking a little bit different. And what I mean by that is I believe that we are equipped differently than those disciples. Now think about it. We are blessed with years of learning about Christ. Many of us were raised from our very youth into this body of Christ. We have so much history and so much knowledge and learning about who Jesus is and what he has done in our lives. The disciples in the first century were blessed with daily living in the presence alongside him. Now we are blessed with resources that we can share. I've already mentioned some of them earlier today, like the backpack program. And you know what? We also have the blessings of our church family that we can use to help others in need as well. The disciples were blessed with a common mission to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And yet, there are still some things that do remain the same, regardless of the time or the season. We are all invited to declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in both word and deed. None of us travel this journey alone, but we are given partners in ministry to walk alongside us in our mutual journey. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here on a given Sunday. And above all, none of us, I believe, none of us are truly equipped to complete the work that we have been given alone. The Holy Spirit works to accomplish all things through us for the sake of the gospel. The world is much different than it was when those first followers were sent out to proclaim the gospel of Christ and prepare for his coming. But some things indeed still remain the same. The faithful are still invited to prepare the way, and indeed the harvest is plentiful. But the good news is, the laborers aren't really all that few. There's a lot of us. And I truly believe that each of us, no matter our age, no matter our income, no matter the value we place on our gifts, each of us is invited to be a laborer for the sake of the gospel. I believe that there is work to be done. There is work to be done here in Albuquerque and around our world. And the Holy Spirit equips all the children of God for that work. Maybe not as we think we should be, but as we need to be. For as we journey through our everyday lives, we all encounter hearts that are ready for the labor of the Spirit. May we so prepare the way for the Lord that those whom we encounter will know who we are as followers of Christ. The labor has changed, but not that much. And the one that we labor for has not ever changed. May we so labor that the glory of God is revealed in all of God's children, both here and those around the world. And in God's glory being revealed, the truth comes into being. Hope is found in the new laborers who will be made ready for the work of the harvest that comes and continues today and into the future. Amen.